That's the exact adjustment that Ulster gives you automatic without anything. So what you've got really is, well, we call it manual. We put in 56, it was already there. So what you got is the winner is a 2-2-2-2, and the place horse is a 1-1-1, but 53-36% early is not okay for place. They're not going to win. The 52-92, even if you discounted it by 50 and got it down to 52-30, would make it perfect. 51-79 and 51-32, 51-13 that the others enjoy are a little low for this distance. So the best energy fit, even if it's a little high, is rare idle. So in this thing you've got, we didn't have to put any, look at it, ace, you said, well, what if ace had figured? Well, if ace had figured, I look at that 0.76% of the purse value, and that does in my mind what Tom's knocking off 0.25. Incidentally, that it would be minus 0.24 here just by your purse value in class. You see how they correlate very frequently? Any questions on the Ulster guy? I think it's... The other question posed here is how come we didn't say use Pretty Stall as our automatic place horse because it had 225% of purse. We did it with Tom. Why not do it with Pretty Stall? My answer is on that page. Go ahead and do it if you want to. It's a three horse exact. You get the, if it were exact, the ratio to had it anyway, the Quinella race in Vegas. You would have got in Vegas for that Quinella $25 for six if you wanted to throw Pretty Stall in there. But Pretty Stall's one loss record is a far cry from Tom's. You've got to take that into consideration. Certainly Delaware was a better choice than, but if you want to throw it in, throw it in. Tom did something I didn't do. He left Princess Sal in, and Princess Sal paid $4.20 to show. I didn't put it in because of the thing the gentleman said over here. I wouldn't put in a horse. He's giving you a little credit here. Purse value of its maiden win was not equal to or better than today, so I left it out. Tom put it in and it showed. So remember, that's for win. I threw it out too, same reason you did. The maiden purse was not equal to today's, but it jumped up and showed on us. Tom had him exactly as they should have been. He had the winner and the place horse first, and the show horse third. You can't do much better than that. Any other questions on that race? Okay, Tom, back next race. See how fast it goes when you're having fun?
Yeah. Next. Go to page 8. This time we've got one at 7 furlongs, $25,000 three-year-olds. I'm going to give you the purse values again. I don't generally put a whole lot of stock in the three-year-old APVs, but we're going to put them in here anyway. Voice of the Wind, 105%. Dennis D, 74%. I got to tell you, I eliminated John's Tomorrow. I didn't even put the APV in because of where he's been running. Native Forecast, 107%. Me, You, and Q, 85%. Mischievous Matt, 125%, if you'll drop down a little. 125. And Aaron's Diamond, 90%. Recent Exchange, 96%. He's All Wound Up, 103%. Fallen Line, 170%. And Peaceful Image was scratched from the race. Fallen Line was 170%. I'm sorry, 85%. You can contender process again, beginning with Voice of the Wind. Take a look at Voice of the Wind for a moment, remembering what the bias is at Hollywood, or at Santa Anita, or Del Mar. Give that some consideration, and then tell me if you want to use Voice of the Wind as a contender here. Anybody? You want to keep this one in? Okay. The logic. Anybody? Who wants to throw it out? Nobody. All right. Then we'll keep that one in. Now I got to tell you, I threw this one out, so we'll have to improvise on some of the ratings. And let me tell you why I threw the horse out. First of all, it was a non-threatening fourth in its last race. And if you'll take a quick look at the price that it was held at in that race, 21-1, and did not threaten the same level. Part of my contender guidelines that I use is that if the horse was beaten at the level or lower in its previous race, I generally eliminate. And for me, this was an elimination. Now, trust me when we get to the figures here in a moment that this is not going to be part of your figures, so you'll have to go through the process yourself when you rework it. But I eliminated Voice of the Wind as a non-contender for those reasons. Now, Dennis D presents a little different problem. Even though his APV is low, one of the reasons his APV is low is because, unfortunately, he broke his maiden at Los Alamitos, and that just dropped the hell out of it. Let's take a look at the last minute for a moment, though. Anybody want to keep this horse as a contender? I see about three hands up, four hands up, five hands up, six hands up. Who wants to eliminate the horse? Remembering now that this horse is dropping significantly in class after being fairly close up to the pace at $40,000. To me, it makes him dangerous. I kept him in. I thought that was a very solid race.
Patches before you decide about it.
Yeah, his internal horse of the pace.
Yeah, he was forcing the
base. 11-3.
Now, for me, at first blush, when I'm doing, when I'm in the handicapping process, if a horse is dropping in class without being having the bottom pulled out from under it, like Cider Cell, that for me is a hold. At least keep the horse in at this stage of the game. Certainly.
Dropping. I've never used that in a case like this. One reason when I look at dropping in class, I really don't see the horse dropping in class. I see he was in a $40,000 race, but he won at $32,000 claimer, which if you take it about in half, he won at a $16,000. Now, is that faulty reasoning on my part?
Well, I think you have to consider one thing. On this horse especially. First of all, look at the August 3rd workout. Look at the lifetime record on this horse. This horse is relatively unraced, and it's a three-year-old. Three-year-olds have a habit of developing overnight sometimes, and they just get better and better until they finally peak out. Dennis D's last race, had that been a sprint, let's take a look at that for a moment. Had that been a sprint, cut these beaten lengths in half and do the same thing with the internal fractions that we did with that other horse. And suppose that that race had been a sprint running 111-1 and the horse had beaten one length at $40,000. Would that horse be a contender in this race? 100% certain. Okay, so why wouldn't it be a contender based on this? Okay. Okay.
Actually, you want to really narrow it down.
That horse is part of that race. There are stronger factors to keep him than to throw him out because he was popped up to 40,000.
There are some definite negatives here, too. As far as
analyzing this race, I think Dennis D has to be part of it.
When you go to the internal fractions, the beaten links you cut in half, is that the third call there?
Second call. Stretch call is the other one.
That becomes the
second call is 3/4 of a mile or 6 furlongs in that mile race.
So here you'd be cutting five.
No, you'd be cutting the 1 3/4 of the second call.
Oh,
okay. So you're looking at the stretch ball.
Yeah,
okay.
I got it.
But we'll get to pace lines in a moment. Now, John's tomorrow. What do you want to do with this? I threw him out, but I mean, I'm willing to keep him in if anybody wants to make a case for it.
Yeah, you can't for Dennis D.
Can you?
Sure. He went to L.A., but he went 25 against Winners, and he ran just a 47-3 work.
Okay.
I can make a hell of a lot better game for him than I can for Devin Peace.
I'm on the opposite side of that fence.
I can make a... Let's take a look at the price now on John Stamaro in his last start, even though he had some trouble. He was held at almost 30-1. Didn't run a step. Eliminate the Los Alamitos races just for the moment. And then look at his performances at Hollywood Park. Considering now that this racetrack will not tolerate a horse that's a 1-5 early late. Okay. May or may not be part of the, off of his last race, I don't even know if he'd be part of the pace or not. The fact that he ran at 32, one level above this, is not a huge excuse, especially at the three-year-old level.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. But it was also 30-1. I think somebody expected him to have less than a great trip. 28-1.
25 open winners in L.A. There were 32 at Del Mar. Sure. I threw that race out when he
considered. So, okay. So what I've got, what are you going to use on him?
Now, I'm willing to put him in, but then you're going to slaughter him for the difference between Los Al and Del Mar. Okay? Be my guest if you'd like to put him in. I'm just trying to steer us on the right course here. But I'm also trying to be consistent, and if it doesn't seem consistent between Dennis D and John Stamaro, let's iron that out. Okay, because Dennis D performed very well at $40,000 in his last race at this racetrack. John's tomorrow doesn't show a whole hell of a lot. Navy forecast. If you don't keep this one again, it's just like I said a little earlier, we better find another game. Look at the fractions in his last race. And look at the daily racing form variant for that day. That's a very, the fractions in that race were very fast. And he broke slowly and still became part of the race at the second call.
Yeah, we'll internalize them
when we pick the pace lines. Let's just go on with contenders. How about me, you, and Q? Who wants to keep this horse?
Okay, now I kept him because there's a couple of
horses coming out of that race, Hovering Presence being one who beat him. I'm sorry, Julio and me, or Julio and me. I kept me, you, and Q for one specific reason, and I eliminated Julio and me for the same reason. If you look at the price at each one of those, remembering that me, you, and Q had a very bad trip according to the line. Me, you, and Q was 2-1 in that race as the favorite. And Julio and me was 42-1 in the same race. Anybody quarrel with that logic at all? Now, I got to tell you, when I got to this, it was just like that last race. I began to add contenders just to give me five. When I first went through this race, I finished the race and had three contenders and went back and added me, you, and Q. To give me a balance between early and late. Again, if my model's based on a 2-2-3-2, I've got to have that same relationship in the race that I'm doing to give me full value for that record keeping.
Can I? He may be.
Remember, Solano's lightning fast in the early fractions, so that's really a bad race, but if you look at, or a bad line to use, but if you look at the Golden Gate races, it was also pretty quick. Yeah. I eliminated Valiant Generation. I would hope you would do the same thing. If we eliminated John's tomorrow, we certainly have to eliminate this horse. Now, this next one's a tough call, Mischievous Matt, because he is the dominant purse value horse in the race. I'm sorry, second highest. And I would ask you what pace line you would use then. That's it. I would have to ask for something from this horse before. Now, his next race after this one we're looking at was a super race. He really ran well and ran back to what you might have expected. But there would be no pace line to use here. If you use the second race back, even after adjusting for class, it will not be a well-rated race. And you can't go back any further than that without looking at somebody that had just turned three I mean, you're really looking at some problems with this horse. Now, if you don't buy this or don't agree with it, please holler, because I'm asking you to steer the same course in your own handicapping. Aaron's Diamond, clearly a contender. Ran second at this level last time out at a short price. I mean, the horse clearly fits. Recent Exchange, it's time to go to Caliente. Now, the next one might be a little tough, and that's He's All Wound Up. The last time out, he ran eighth to Bob Latore's old horse. How about He's All Wound Up?
I think he was contender because of the drop.
And how do you feel about this horse? Yes.
Just a quick story. I was out the track at day week one, and when Mayberry put that horse over, they were smiling so much in the winner's circle that day. I just have to say that they really do something that day. There was fight. Yeah, they switched out. I mean, they were just.
I bet the horse on June 29th. When it opened up that lead and lost to East Tula.
He hasn't had a workout.
Again, it's the same thing I explained to you earlier. When a horse is making a clear drop in class, I keep them in.
At least until I go back and find out how many contenders I've got. And you're going to find that I don't have a whole lot here. And I used He's All Wound Up. Fall in Line. Here's a horse that's 170% of purse value. What pace line would you use on a horse?
Yeah, this is about the trouble with January. Too far back.
Yeah, and his last race was pretty dull. What do you want to do with it? You pretty much, as far as our methodology is concerned, you're pretty much locked into eliminating the horse.
Holding him possibly for Quinella, exacta play. You're pretty much locked into eliminating him. Remembering that these are three-year-olds, and if you go back and use one in January, he had, he had just gotten out of the two-year-old category, so I mean, it's hard to relate that to late in the year three-year-olds because they're a different, whole different age. Yes?
I have to say that in recent weeks, there are few types of horses, although the Alpine's fractions aren't that great on the second lap, but this is the kind of horse that really raises red flags for place in my mind. When I see that APB and back, this is second race after the layoff. Boy, I mean, like fireworks go off in my mind. I've been burned so many times in the last 3 weeks. I've modified an awful lot to handle this sucker like this.
Replacement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what Howard had said earlier. The dominant APV horse is always a threat to place. Yeah. It's just you can't find a pace line on him. So, I mean, if you're going to bet him or hold him aside and use him that way. Okay. What does that leave us? That leaves us Dennis D, Native Forecast, Me, You, and Q, Aaron's Diamond, He's All Wound Up. Let's pick some pace lines. Dennis D. Let's use the internal fractions of the race back. Now, the same process we put on the board a few minutes ago, the final time then for that makeshift pace line will be 111 and 1. 46-1, and the logical first fraction to go with 46-1 is about 23. 22 and 4, 23.
Make a call.
Doesn't matter. See, none of it figures into your ratings anyway. Okay. Yeah, I made 23. Okay. As far as beat links were concerned, I did not cut them in half. I wasn't that generous to the horse. I made him mainly because he was three lengths behind, so I made him two lengths, and one length.
One length at the second call,
which is the three-quarter mile mark, which would be the final time on this new pace line.
I used 2-2-1.
You can do it. Do it the regular way. You still get about the same.
Yeah, you get about the same, right? I was just trying to
match these horses up. I also knew that he wasn't going to be part of the pace here. I don't think he was either. No, far from it. Maybe Forecast. Here's where a generic variant will get you in a little trouble, so you have to use your head.
When you look at that 45-1-110, that knocks your socks off. And if you look at the Daily Racing Form variant at 15, when you make a generic variant for this horse, like we did, like we've been doing, it's going to kind of take some of the value away from that 110. So you got to use your head here too and realize that whatever number you make for this horse, he should be better than you made. That was a solid race. Those fractions are fast. The pace line that you create for this race is 109.3. And then working backwards is 44.4. And the logical first fraction is 21.4. Pardon?
21.4.
And again, that one's not crucial. If you make it 22 or 21.3, it doesn't really matter. It matters only in the matchup, but you got to be careful in your matchups anytime you use an internal fractions from a route. You just got to realize that they lie to you a little bit. Now let's take a look at the beaten lengths. I used 2.2 and 1.25. And one of the reasons I was more generous with this horse than Dennis D is because of the trouble line on the horse. Broke slowly is a significant trouble line. Now, when you weigh all that together, an 80 forecast does look pretty good in here. When you consider he broke slow, got into the race at that second call to contend that pace. Let's go beyond that. Me, you, and Q. What pace line do you want to use on this horse? I got to tell you, Solano's a crazy racetrack to use. It's a 7-furlong racetrack, and it is also lightning fast. And whoever gets the lead is literally gone. And anytime you take a horse from that, you're inflating the horse far beyond what his real talents are. Because when they move over, when they were at Pleasanton before, the horses that stopped at Pleasanton won at Solano, and when they moved away from Solano, the same horses that won at Solano lost again. I got to tell you, what I used was his last race. And I figured if that last race, allowing for the fact that he had some problems, if that last race came up halfway usable, I would have probably played him in here as one of the choices as a long shot play.
How do you make adjustments for all the trouble
you have there? You don't. You have to make mental. Anytime you begin to look at this and say, well, I'll cut that down to 3 lengths, you're guessing. What you have to do is in your own mind is realize that the number that you make for the horse is not as good as the horse probably is. That's just a matter of thinking that one through and doing as best you can. Because it can't all be mechanical. Aaron's Diamond, we can use the last race with no fear there. That represents the current form on the horse. The rider switch to Pinkay can't hurt, can it? What race do you want to use with He's All Wound Up? I use June 14th, and I'm not sure you can get wrong here. I use the 14th of June for the simple reason that I hate using the internal fractions from Hollywood Park. Just do not like it personally. They don't hold up nearly like they do off the two-turn mile. If you want to use that second race back, that's going to promote that horse a great deal. Had his last race been a solid, good race in which he was up close all the way around, I might have been tempted to use that second race back. And since it wasn't, I was afraid of getting a horse that wasn't representative. Now, if you want to use that second race back, he'll be one of the two horses you play in here. So you can't really go wrong on that one. You're going to lose with him. But you're still going to have the winner locked up here, I think. We accept this? Okay. Yes?
What if I use the second race, maybe not in this case, but when you've got a case like this, use them in mile race when they're sprinting it. Instead of internalizing, giving credit.
I will do that occasionally. I'll do that occasionally at this distance, 7 furlongs. That's the only one I will. And based on his last race, I was afraid of using the June 29th race because it was such a decline from the previous one. Okay. I don't think you can get wrong using his last race, even though it was 2 levels above. You're going to inflate your values when you make your variant anyway. He's just a hard one to use. I mean, if you want to use him and if you want to use the second race back, he'll be part of your two-horse bet.
He's all wound up?
Yeah.
What to use the last race back.
They won't come out very well. They'll come out basically the way you're in.
It scares me any time a horse declines. If you look at his last race, even though he was at 40, he was 4-1 in there. He was supposed to run well. And I think you should consider that when you're looking at some of these pace line selections as to whether or not they were in a spot that they should have done well. He should have run well at 4-1. How to handle him? There's no mechanical rule here. Look at page, the variance, if you'll go now to, where are you? Are you on 28 now?
Yeah.
Okay. The variant process was the same thing. If you look at Dennis D, we're not going to put these on the board this time, because by now it should be mechanical. The one thing we'll do with Dennis D is give him a plus 0.25 for the double drop. Incidentally, he lost a nose photo for second in here at 19-1. Then he ran a super race the other day. Anybody that's interested, he really opened up at three quarters of a mile on a route, which says he probably wants to sprint next time, and he probably would be tough. Anyway, 0.25 plus to him. Native Forecast gets a plus 0.15 because he's making a one level drop. Me, You, and Q a minus 0.15. No adjustment on Aaron's Diamond. And a plus 0.15 on He's All Wound Up. On page 32 are the numbers. And please consider that as you look through this, the number one early pace horse is Native Forecast. And realize that this horse broke slowly the day he earned his number. He ties average pacer Factor W with Dennis D. And Dennis D ran good in here. He got beat a nose for second at 19-1, so he paid 8.20 to show. But Native Forecast, if you hold in the back of your mind what I meant, was that he broke slowly, had an excuse, and still winds up with the top rating in the race, or tied for the top rating in the race. Fits the model perfectly. Look at the 52.2% early, and is number one early. I'm sorry, early energy, and is number one early, number two sustained. So if you beat Native Forecast, good luck to you. And he pays $9.60. Some of these prices seem to be hard to believe. The high average purse value horse, Fall in Line, gets beat two noses for the place. So there's possible place horse again. And Mischievous Matt only gets beat a length and a quarter for the place, and he's the other average pace horse, average purse value horse, I'm sorry. Any questions on that?
So you feel, right off these figures, early pace, that Native Forecast should be about at least two lengths in front at the quarter pole, right?
At the quarter pole? You mean at the quarter pole at the end of half a mile, about a length?
Yeah, half a mile.
About a length.
About a length, yeah.
And remembering now that he was, and he broke slowly the day here in that rating. So, I mean, he's even stronger than he looks. Okay. Yeah, and it is a simple race. Now, if you use He's All Wound Up, he's a tricky one. If you want to use him, and if you want to use a second race back, he becomes part of the contention, the strong contention in this race. He'd probably fit right here with Native Forecast and Dennis D. That you recasted.
Didn't put it in there because it picked him 1-2.
Okay.
I use a different pace line on the place horse. Sent it first. I used one back from Tom's, and you can see what that would do to that horse. So there were 1-2 on all skin. But with the mutuals being that low, I didn't think it was worth it.
I wanted to add one little thing because you did it a lot in this race, and that is you're making little mental notes to yourself. Well, I'll just use this one for place. I'll excuse this. There's a little this, a little that. I have had a tendency, and still have a little bit, because I have absolutely no memory. It was surgically removed years ago. I'll make all these little excuses, get to my five, and then treat those numbers like they were chiseled in stone. Here's my number one horse. I'm going to bet my number one horse. Forgetting that I fiddled those numbers to getting there in the first place.
I've now gotten in the habit of writing in the margin of my racing form or whatever little notes to myself why I did that, or something like place only, because you'll find yourself many times, if you go back the night afterwards, here you are betting a horse that was your fourth or fifth choice that you put in just to make your model, and he jumps up and gets a huge number in just one of your categories, and that's, you find yourself betting on him, using him in an exacta, and that's not a very good idea. So just get in the habit of writing down your reasons, either plus or minus. Now, there was one horse in there that you were going to give credit to, because he stumbled, and he still comes up. And a couple other horses that you put in, kind of iffy. So make those notes. Tom can get away without doing it, because he remembers everything. But I remember nothing, and I really had that problem at first.
In every manual we've written, we have always stressed that you should look at the raw figures for every horse before you make adjustments. And remember that when you alter them because of a man-made decision. The horse didn't actually do it. That's why bottom line, why I always look at raw, even though you don't necessarily bet on raw. And the other is an announcement on behalf of for Tom relative to his author's coming out party last night. I called the Rusty Lantern for reservations. They said, your name, please? I said, Sergeant. Oh, yeah, we remember you from last night. And I was very flattered. And she said, that's the good news. The bad news is, no, we couldn't possibly have you come back again.
Sure. This whole process. And it works good. I'll do the whole meeting that way.
Okay.
Because you're going to get shippers from everywhere.
Right.
Sure. The whole process.
ATV is very strong at the moment. You better watch it. Baseline is mediocre
in
a lot of horses.
Let me tell you what's key here, though. Because you're more or less averaging a lot of these horses, like in this case, we averaged Native Forecast. Native Forecast ran against lightning fast fractions that were legitimate. So we actually downgraded him by averaging. Okay? The thing you have to know is you have to know the early-late relationships you're dealing with. You have to know the percent early. That's the way you separate, because they tend to average close together. So you got to be careful with that. So at Pomona, you do the first few races and make sure that you understand how those races were won in terms of your pre-race figures. And once you have that, once you know that it's a sustained track, and it probably will be, understand that. Now, just as a handicapping tip for Pomona, even last year it held up very well. The horses that have been running at Del Mar, if they ran good second fractions, turn time if you will, they tend to run very well at Pomona. So if you have somebody that's a knockout second fraction, bet them over there. Very safe bet. And because Pomona is basically a bull ring, and the ability to handle a turn is everything over there.
Since I've been in this a relatively short time, one of the blessings is that I haven't had to deal with an off-track, which I anticipate is with Santa Anita coming up. Isn't that, in that circumstance, you're dealing with track profiles that are just by their nature shorter, the track grades, and whatever that is, you have to deal with that or you pass, and then, you, no? I see you shaking yes or no.
I'm shaking yes to all that.
Okay.
Yeah, you deal with short-range models with the track.
But the rain is wonderful, the prices go up. I was terribly afraid of the rain. I was in the same position last year. I was just getting started. And I thought, oh, the rain, my model is dead. Wonderful. You have to figure out what the track is going to do. Last year, Santa Anita went sustained, but that's not God-given here. It may not this year. So
you just have to do it.
Watch the first rainstorm and see what happens and learn when it goes sustained, if it does. And then from then on, every rainstorm, you'll be cashing tickets right and left, and no one else will. My average mutual for 2 days was over $20. I doubled my bankroll in 2 days.
You get that from your model, right? That's right. So you take your model, and your model from the rain track, right?
Sure. I looked at what it did the last time it rained, and I said, well, if it does this again, this horse, who's going off at 14 to 1, looks good. And
I
took a vacation.
I went to Cabo San Lucas for a week and then really didn't get back in the swing. I had just finished a long, long winning streak, and I was burned out. So when he was doing well in the rain, I was playing the horses.
Did you do well in the rain?
you to do very well at Bay Meadows. Those Northern California
tracks are gold mines. I was going to start making a variant service for them too now.
Well, I've done it a long time. I've done Bay Meadows and Golden Gate, and now we're going to offer it this year. So. Let's take a look at the next race, which is page 11. This is a little better quality race. It's a $50,000 for older. This time we're going to get a route. Remember what the route model was? It's a little bit sustained. The energy par was between, 51.4 and what did I put up there? 52.2 or 52.3, something like that. It's got a wide range. Average purse values, starting with Dancebel, 145%. Olajuwon, 102%. Menswear, 115%. Valiant George, 98%. Bedouin, 108. Stickett, 130. Idle, 82%. Trusty Danis, 79%. Lead On, 139%. Buckahoy, 98%. Impulsively, 92%. Now let's pick some contenders. Who wants to keep Dancebel in as part of this race? Me too. I mean, just nothing you can, hard to make a case for this horse here. Who wants to keep Olajuwon in? Please give me a hand. Okay, yeah, Olajuwon is a contender. That'd be hard to throw him out here. That's right. Plus, this is a reclaim, incidentally, by John Fulton, who had him earlier in the year. Menswear. Who wants to keep Menswear in here? Okay. All right. Now, for purposes, I got to tell you, I'm not sure whether to go right or wrong here. I eliminated him, and because he's always won fairly decent on the turf, and his last race, or two races back, he got beat ahead at $50,000 at Hollywood Park. Now, you would think they'd bring him back to the races fairly soon. Instead of that, they'd laid him off a month and a half, and he was finished before they went a half a mile, right on the half-mile number. For me, that was inexcusable here. Now, if you want to keep him in, just be aware that you're getting a little flexible in terms of your form requirements. He's 115% of the purse value, but half this field is 115. So he has no class edge in terms of his last 2 years, anyway. Now, I eliminated him. If you want to keep him in, you'll have to kind of rework the figures I made a little bit later on, which is fine. You all know how to do it. But I would be a little hesitant to excuse that last race. Valiant George? Yes?
It's kind of a horse that I probably have to scratch my head over a little bit.
Okay.
I guess my logic would probably run, he is coming back down, it's the second race, and I agree that he didn't, you know, he did give it up after the second call, but that since he did well up to the second call, isn't that what you're kind of looking for in the first race after a layoff, a good performance to the second call?
Great question.
That's a good question, but I got to tell you, he didn't do well until the second call. He did well up to the first call. Second call, he'd already spit it out. He was really falling back quickly. I would have preferred, for me, I would have accepted, I got to tell you, I would have accepted this. Yeah, but three lengths is, you know, when you're talking about running leisurely on the turf in 111.3, three lengths is quite a bit when you've dropped back to six, and you should have been part of the pace. This horse has got plenty of speed when he routes. Had he gone into the second call as one of the leaders, I would really consider I would have used him here. But because he eliminated himself so early from running, coupled with the 6 weeks off, excuse me, I eliminated him.
I'm saying if you want to add him, go ahead and add him.
Well, I guess simply because I know I would, if I was doing this, you know, that I would really start saying, well, he did run well with 50, he was competitive with 50, and admittedly it was some time ago that this is his second race back, and I would get into that quandary.
He goes back to that horse that we talked about, one of the other races, about what that performance was after that 6 or 8 weeks off. And to me, that performance was inexcusable on the part of Menswear.
You shouldn't have lost any ground or minimal ground between...
Sure, in that 1,320 feet from that.
The half-mile call to the three-quarter mark. I would have preferred him to be part of that pace, and then if he spit it out, that's fine, because he wasn't supposed to win that race. He's 15 to 1. But you're looking for more of a performance from him.
Look at his entire line, you'll see that all of his good races were either at sprints or in one-turn miles. This horse likes his straightaway, a shorter distance, and he's never raced well except in sprints in the one-turn mile.
Now, 3 years ago, he would have murdered this field. He would have murdered
him. You're talking about an 8-year-old gelding here, too. Any other questions on this horse? Because it's kind of important you deal with him properly, because... he's like that horse we dealt with in that last race. He's going to be, if you go wrong here, he's going to distort all your numbers.
Did this horse have passed contender scan?
No. No. Did not have passed contender scan.
Unless you went back too far.
Unless you went back too far.
Did you use these last race you made or the one before?
Last race.
No, he would not have passed contender scan. Because that second call is, I mean, his second fraction is so bad. As he moved around a turn, it took him, consider this. Now, here's a horse with a lot of speed. The second, the difference between the first call and the second fraction in that race is a leisurely 25 and 1. Now, for good horses, that's not going all that fast, right? And he spit out 3 lengths during that period of time. That's just not a sign of a healthy horse.
25 and 4 turns in.
On a 4 variant, thank you very much. On a 4 variant, that turbo horse was fast. So he spit out 3
lengths during a 25 and 4 Oh, I'm sorry, a 25 and 1 fraction.
The question coming over there somewhere, as I said,
we could, if it were 6 furlongs, we could keep him
here. Well, but
I don't think I'd keep him in for 6
furlongs here either. I hated that last race when I looked at this, and of course the way he ran, it didn't change my opinion any here. But that race is just not a good sign.
Another question. He doesn't seem to like turf. I mean, can we excuse him for not liking turf?
Well, he's 1 for 6. And
his earlier years, he ran some halfway decent races on a turf. Most of that 6, incidentally, was down the hill at Santa Anita. Now, I don't know whether his win was at. I mean, you either do that from memory or not at all, but he's still 1 for 6. A lot of horses are 1 for 10 and 1 for 20 and so on. So he's not total dislike for turf. And again, why would they? Jim Flaherty.
Looking at the race on June 7th, if that horse comes out of that race sound and healthy, what do you do with him next?
Right back.
Sure, you bring him right back.
You don't wait 6 weeks or 7 weeks for him and then put him in a race and have him spit it out that early on you.
Attention, obviously, to the track variant, okay? It's something that I really haven't heard of.
I hope you do, because that's what I'm sending to you.
I'm talking about
the day of racing
or the other I pay a lot of attention to.
Okay.
I don't need the money. I just send the checks. Okay. My question is, is a track variant, the racing form's track variant, is that a combination of turf and dirt races?
No.
No, they do separate, they go that far.
They go that far, but then they have reached the routes in the sprint.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look at your racing
form.
Average.
Are they afraid of an explanation of exactly how it's done? I don't know,
but
I was just asking
some
the context of these
conversations. So if they run 7 routes one day and 7 sprints the next day, the track will be the same both days, and yet you're going to find this at the day of the race.
Except that in turf races, since 99 point whatever are on routes, then effectively that is a route.
The only problem with the turf race is
if you run one turf race,
That data risk from variant is worthless to you, too. Diane George. Who wants to use this horse? One, two people, three people, four people, five people, six people. How many want to eliminate this horse? Two or three. I started to use this horse. I drew a pace line for him and then eliminated him. And one of the reasons I eliminated him is, first of all, consider the bias we talked about. A 5-1 or a 6-1 is unacceptable here. That's number one. Number two, if you take and draw a line through his last race at 32, two levels below this, can you make him a contender in this race? Can you make him even a contender off of his performances at 40 and 50? I can't either. That's the reason I revised, because you'll see a line drawn under that last line when you open back to page 33 or whatever it is. You'll see that I did that and then went back and eliminated it.
I did not eliminate him, and your fears would have been justified because he didn't show anyway. He didn't figure.
Well, that's a, you know, coming up two levels and after having been beaten down there by one of the horses in this race on the square, I eliminated him. And that, again, is part of, well, it's one of my own contender guidelines anyway. I do that kind of just as I go through the race. So that for him, for me, it was almost an automatic elimination. Bedouin, off of his recent four races, if you can make him a contender in here, you're doing better than I am.